Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that you are. Thank you that you are drawing near to us, Lord, and you have a wonderful plan for this hour to bless us with your presence, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but you are humbling yourself, emptying yourself, and coming to do a visitation among us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that every home represented in this meeting, Lord, to be you will be present in this place, Lord, in this home. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, every heart will listen to the words that you will build your kingdom into our inner being, Lord, and that will bring the fruit that will glorify your name, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will take this hour to shape us and mold us to the vessel that you want to carry your glory in, Lord. I pray, Lord, for anointing for everyone that speaks, shares, or asks questions even. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for the people that didn't make it yet. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to surround them, that there is something for you, there is food for you, there is growth for you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you remove every obstacle, every wall standing in the front of your sons and daughters, Lord, to bring them into your presence, not only to a Zoom meeting or a church meeting, to into your presence, Lord, to shape us all, to mold us all to your to you, to make us more and more like you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay. Assam or James? Assam? Go ahead.
Didn't you have something you want to share first, Philip?
I want to share a little bit, has nothing to do with Nehemiah, but today I didn't work, and I was just praying, worshiping, and listening to some teaching, and I just wanted to rest in the presence of God. And as I was listening to worship music, you know, when a worship music, like a song finishes, another thing comes from the watch list or whatever. And this video came for a speaker called Jonathan, actually, and he was talking about rest, being at rest in the presence of God. And he was sharing something, touched my heart, and I felt like I want to share it with everyone. And he was sharing that God created, you know, everything in 6 days. And the day seven, what did he do? He rested. And but in the day when he created Adam, he has a plan for Adam to go and do all the, you know, all the work in the garden. But then when Adam was created, the next day of Adam's creation, day six, who was created, day seven is a day of rest. God is saying, you know, this is my day off. I'm gonna rest. And who's resting with him? Adam. He didn't start work. He didn't start work. He started his life, his mission with rest. He started his life with rest. And from this rest, from the place of rest, he started his mission. He started to obey God. He started what God asked him to do. And I always felt like, you know, we live in a society, in a community that thanks God for Friday, because it's the last day of the week, and then the weekend will come and we will rest. So we work and then we rest. But God meant it to be rest first and then work. Have a time of fellowship with God, have a Sabbath with God, and Sabbath means that you are emptying yourself, emptying your life to have the fellowship with God and then do the will of God. And this is exactly what happened with Jesus. When Jesus went to be baptized, first thing happened after he got out of the water, a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved son for whom I am pleased, well pleased." And Jesus didn't do anything at that time, but God the Father wanted to assure him that you are loved without doing anything. Without doing anything, you are loved, because he spent 40 days fellowship with God, and fellowship with the Father, had a fellowship with the Father. And then he started his ministry. So I just want to encourage each one of us to have this quiet time with God, either daily or even if it's seasonally, like you're tired and no. Stop everything. Have time of fellowship with God and then continue obeying what God wants you to do and continuing mission and work and ministry and everything. But start with the rest. Start with rest and then follow with the obeying God's will and go obeying God's command for your life. I felt, by the way, I shared this, the whole video, the entire video on my Facebook. Please go and watch it, or just get the title and type it on YouTube and watch it. I encourage each one of us to watch this video. It's amazing, amazing, amazing materials. Because he was saying also something really, really profound, which is for me the first time I used the word profound. He was sharing something really beautiful, which is he said that being burned out in ministry, that means we did more than we being. Our doing surpassed our being. You know, when you do, and but God wants you to be something different. This is when burnout comes. And he was encouraging everyone to rest in the presence of God. And I want to encourage each one of us to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Can I pray again? I feel like I want to pray again.
Okay.
I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, to show us our personal garden that we will go and walk with you, go and take this time of rest. And from that place, we will be filled with your Holy Spirit, be filled with assurance, be filled with you, with your presence, Lord, and the fellowship that you want to have with us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus to show us that place of rest. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us, and you said everyone who is tired and weary to come and have rest. I pray in the name of Jesus that each one of us will find that place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. James, you want to start with verse 8? Last time we stopped on the verse 8, when we saw that the perfumers as well were making repairs. So far, this is probably the largest portion of the gates. And we saw the goldsmith, we saw builders, we saw leaders, we saw elders, we saw governors. We're seeing so many people and such variety of people participating in the work. And there's more, actually, we're going to see in a little bit right now. Okay, but we're going to start with the second half of verse 8, and where it says, "And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall." So James, go ahead and take it from there, please.
Okay. So after we looked at the goldsmith and the perfumers, the next part it says, "And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall." So this was a wall that was, it was huge. It was long. It was thick. It was broken down in part by Joash a long time ago, and then Uzziah rebuilt it. And he built it so strong that even after the captivity, this wall was still standing. they didn't make repairs here. Like all the other places they made repairs here, they're not making repairs. They're fortifying up to it. So it just shows us that the work that we put in before, even in hard times, some things are going to stand. God makes sure that some things are going to stand. He's able to keep us. He's able to keep us built up. And when we see that there are things in our lives that are still standing, we're able to build up to them. We're able to focus on them and lead our path that way, so that we fortify on the way to those things that remain standing. So don't lose heart if some part of me breaks down, because God is still able to rebuild. So there are some things where we need to make repairs, where there needs to be a fix, and there are some things that just they're strong. They're, you know, you might be especially gifted in something. It's strong, and it just needs to be fortified. And so this is one of those places.
Good. Well, that's amazing, because that brings me to a question that's out there for all of us. And the question is, how can we strengthen our walls to be ready, not just for the normal day, to be ready for the evil day? How can we make our walls, how can we make our portions of the walls, how can we make our lives, how can we make our church, how can we make whatever it is, you just fill in the blank. How can we make it strong enough, okay, that when the evil day comes, it will stand the test? And you know, while James is just explaining right now, they kept making the wall wider and wider, wider and wider, you know. And when you're trying to build a siege or like a wall around the city, your concern is to not make it wider. Your concern is to make it, or what you worry about is to make it longer, right? To go around, to surround the city, right? But right here, I'm talking about back in the days before the wall. And this is really good. This came to me as we are thinking about this right now, you know. So instead of spending so much time, you know, or investing their time to go longer, to go around the whole city and get the job done, this group or this area, they decided to make the wall thicker and wider and stronger. So when that day came of destruction, this portion was still standing. And that brings us to the question, is it hard work? Yes. Does it take longer? Absolutely. Don't you look sometimes and see some churches that out of nowhere became mega church? I wonder how long they stay as a mega church. Don't you see some people and some families and some, you know, businesses between night and day, they blow up and they became, you know, and they become, you know, these big, famous, huge names. But I wonder how long they will stay, you know. And sometimes we get frustrated at the length of time it takes to make that wall wider and stronger and thicker. But one day in the future, when the test comes, everything else will fall except that wide, strong walls. As Philip was sharing with us right before the meeting, there was a man that built on the sand much easier than the man who built where? On the rock. It took much longer to build on the rock. It took more effort. It took more muscles. It took many days, probably, you know. But when the storm came, which house stood strong? The one that was built on the rock. The one that was frustrating, the one that was harder, the one that was filled with tears and pain and sweat, that's the one that stood. So here is the question. So with that background, here's the question for all of us to answer, not just one or two. How can we strengthen our walls to be ready for the evil day? Because the evil day is coming. It will come. If you were attending Esther with us, we know that the evil day is coming. Philip talked to us about the evil day. Just like the revelation, just like the salvation day will always come, the evil day will come. The testing day will come. Jesus himself was tested. What makes you and me think that we're not going to be tested? We're going to be tested. So it's a good place to start, to build, to strengthen, to fortify, to make our walls and our lives, our marriage, our church, our ministry, make it wider. Don't worry about the length. Don't worry about the right and left. Now worry about the depth of what we're doing. And that's what James just shared with us right now. So here's the question again. I keep saying, here's the question, and then I keep preaching. Sorry, how can we strengthen our walls to be ready for the evil day? And you better answer quick, or I'm going to start again.
I'm going to jump in before you start preaching again. No, I'm happy you brought this up, because it's actually something I'm struggling with. I think I focus on the lengthening of the wall by trying to do a lot of little things. And I've noticed that there's one important thing that I need to start making a priority when it comes to making it wider. And this is the one. I sit here and I try to find online just different videos of different preachers, just different types of messages. I keep trying to kind of connect with different people who are in the Christian realm. And then I realized the easiest thing I can do to thicken that wall, to get me ready for the hard times, it's right here. I've been praying every night for direction. And I literally wake up the next day and I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you have for me today? Where am I going to find it? Is it going to be online? Is it this article? And I've been asking for direction. I realized the direction is right here in front of me. It's closer to the internet. It's right here in front of me. And it is the hardest thing to do, for me at least, to spend time in making this not just a habit, but a necessity. And it's mind-boggling to me, because I will wake up at 4 in the morning to go to the gym every day on the dot, no failure. But to sit there and make this a habit to where I can sit there and read for half an hour, for an hour, it's something that I've realized is pretty hard for me. And it's easy to kind of give up. But I've realized the only way to thicken that wall is to open up this channel of communication daily. And just like, the gym, there will be days where you kind of don't feel like doing it, but you still have to do it. And I can tell you this, anytime I didn't feel like reading the Bible and I still read it, I never finished reading and went, oh man, I wish I didn't read today. Just like the gym. Any day you don't want to go to the gym, you still go to the gym. No one finishes a workout and says, oh, I wish I never worked out today. I feel worse now than I did before. Unless you're a Sami, you're doing CrossFit, but that's different. Other than that, I throw a jab in there. I find that thickening the wall for me is the hardest part. It is time consuming, and it's finding time to do the work, which is reading the Bible, no matter what. It's just no matter how busy, no matter how tired, to just find time, even if I'm not really feeling it, to just open it up and start reading, and the direction comes that way for me.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's beautiful. Who else? And Michael now is preaching, so I'm getting jealous.
I learned from the best.
Well, I just want to share real quick, as you were saying, broadening the walls, making them thicker, it just made me think of going deeper with your roots. That way, when the winds come, the tree doesn't get uprooted. It's planted, you're planted deep. When the winds blow, you're still standing firm. So it gave me that picture right there.
It's good.
For me, it will be to apply the word, be doers of the word.
Yeah. That's
very good.
Amen.
That takes a lot of effort. That's a lot of hard work.
Yep.
Because
they're watching you. Everybody's watching you. You have to be.
We can hear 100 messages a day, but yep, we can fail to obey one small little, message or word that we hear. So being doers of the word, that is definitely thickening the wall. That is definitely building more character. That's definitely building more strength in our life. That's great. I know Pastor Albert has something. I know it. I can look at the clock behind him and I feel like there's some kind of glory coming this way. So get ready, everyone.
Sorry, I didn't realize the clock.
Hold on to your chairs because this is going to give us an earthquake of an.
Wow. Thanks. Nothing really, but thank you for that.
I'm just setting the stage for you.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Hey, Marco, thanks for joining us tonight. So nice to see you on.
Oh, yeah, certified.
I was hoping you guys didn't hear me.
Welcome. Welcome home, Habibi.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. You know, as you guys were talking about the wall and getting it strong, I thought about Joshua in chapter 1, where the Lord was speaking to him, and he's ready to do something that was incredible, right? Take the people where they haven't gone before and go someplace where he himself hasn't gone before. And the Lord speaks to him in verse 8, and he says to him, meditate. Meditate on this word day and night, as you guys just mentioned. You know, Edwin was talking about doing the word, and Michael was talking about reading the word, and Philip was talking about resting in the word. And I think all of those things applies, learning how to rest, learning how to read, learning how to do all that. And it's done on a regular basis. And that's really what our challenge is. Our challenge is to do that. And if we're able to do that, the Lord promises us, like he promised Joshua, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success.
Amen.
And not just that, but not just so that when the evil day comes against you, but that we stop playing defense and now we're ready to start playing offense and we move into enemy territory and we start taking back the captives that were taken from us at some point in time in the past.
That's amazing.
As Pastor Al was speaking about this point, I have something, and I know that it will scare some people, but it, believe me, it's biblical. I just remembered the walls of Jericho that God commanded Joshua to knock it down. Why Jericho walls needed to be knocked down? Because it was on the way of the people of God to their promised land. So it needed to be removed. To strengthen my wall, I need to build it in the right place, or else it will be destroyed.
That's good.
Yeah, it will be destroyed. Destroyed. And from whom? I believe that God will remove it. If I build it in the wrong place, it will be removed. It will be like a Jericho wall for the people of God, because, and I will give you an example of building a wall in the wrong place. If I am in the wrong place, out of God's will, I'm trying to build a wall, trying to build a ministry, trying to build a kingdom, but it's my own kingdom. This is a wall not in God's will. It will be knocked down. This has no foundation. This is a wall has no foundation, because the foundation should be the word of God.
Good.
The foundation should be Christ himself. You know, Jesus himself is the foundation. So if I build anything outside the will of God, this is no, the foundation has nothing to do with God. It's my own will. It's my own word. It's my own imagination. And this wall will be knocked down. And but may God help us to build our own and to strengthen our walls and to build it in the right place, in the right time. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. All right, verse 9, James.
I just think it's an accident that in that parable you talked about with the man who built on sand and man who built on the rock, Jesus specifically adds those two words, dug deep. He says dug deep right there. And then when he talks about the seed that falls on the stony ground, it didn't have a root, so it sprang up quickly. Just like you were saying, how some things look great quickly, and then you ask, how long do they last? Those seeds didn't last very long. But the ones that take their time and and grow steadily, those are the ones that, that bear fruit and not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. First, James, can you hold on for a second? Sorry. So sorry. Just like I felt something right now. Maybe this is a message for us. Maybe this is a message for all of us. Maybe it's a message for one of us. Just don't be frustrated. Don't be frustrated by the time it's taking to build something. Don't be frustrated by the time or the effort or the energy, and you feel like I have been in the same spot for years, for months, for a long time, because this is nothing but fortifying, making a stronger wall. So when the wind or when the storms come, it's not gonna fall. Look at the, you know, and it's, this is honestly for me right now, because we've had so many delays and so many things, and we always look at each other and like, what's going on? Like, we're good people. Why is this happening? Like, I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that question, or if you felt, you know, but this is an encouragement that something greater is cooking, something, you know, stronger is in the work, something that will be a blessing for generations to come, not just for the look, not just for the you know, the excitement of the moment, but this is something for generations to come. So, sorry about that. Sorry, James.
Man, we're never gonna get through the book at this rate. It's taking so long.
Well, you started that verse, so.
No, I'm kidding. I was being ironic. You just told me not to do that.
Preaching now, so you know.
No, I'm gonna let you know. I needed to hear that, because last night when I went to sleep and I was praying, I told myself those words. I am so frustrated with myself, because I kept reading the word, and I'm like, God, I'm not hearing or not understanding your reply. You said if I am seeking, I will find, but I'm not finding it. And I realized I was telling myself last night in my prayer that I was frustrated. So I'm happy you mentioned that, because I thought I was the only one feeling frustrated.
I'm sorry, James. I have one little thing.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just doing the opposite of what he said to do. That's all.
So, do you all remember Hurricane Michael? Hurricane Michael.
No, please.
Hurricane Michael hit Florida, I believe, in 2018. It was, I think, somewhere around that. And there are images that stick in your mind. And one of the images that really has lasted a long time with me was an image of an entire coastline in Florida. I can't remember the city, that had been completely wiped out, totally devastated by the storm. All that remained was one white house that was on stilts, that was seemed to be completely untouched. And they were interviewing the gentleman that built the house. And he said they found this material that was 10 times more expensive than material that's typically used to build these types of homes. And it cost them, get this, $200,000 extra to fortify the stilts at the bottom, underneath the house. And it was the only house that made it through this devastating storm. The entire city was literally wiped out, with the exception of this house. So just to add to not being discouraged in the face of additional work and additional energy and time and the things that sometimes help make us feel like, you know, we're not going anywhere. Really, we're building these fortifying these walls. So.
Thank you, Dina, for sharing this. Okay, sorry, James. So I really feel like it's amazing.
Go ahead.
No, it's just the talking about foundation and about being founded on founding our life on Jesus and his word is the crucial thing that and very important thing to do. And as Dina was sharing, I just felt like it's more like prophesying more than sharing a share. And I felt like, no, we need to speak about that. We need to talk about that. We need to find out what's foundation that is fake and we did it ourselves, and what foundation that it's from God. Paul said, الآية بتاعت كورنثوس اللي هي مش هكلمكم عن أساس غير الذي وضع الذي هو يسوع المسيح. That I'm not gonna talk to you about any other foundation but Jesus Christ. You know, the Jesus Christ Himself is our foundation. Mm-hmm. And when storms comes, do you think Jesus will be shaken or will be moved? No, the foundation will be strong because Jesus is the foundation. The whole building will be strong because Jesus, and Jesus will be speaking and will be speaking life. I was talking to the guys in the preparation time about Genesis, you know, and I talked to you about God spoke a word and created. And Mike, you were saying about waiting on God's word. I believe that when we surrender our will, and our plans, and you know what? I am tired of my plans. I am tired of me. I'm just surrendering to your will and to your word. Speak to me. Speak to my life. Put the foundation. I believe that God will build our life in a new way. In a new way that will stand against every storm that we will experience. I'm not preaching. I'm just speaking about, you know, I'm speaking from here. I'm gonna make it more personally, actually, if you allow me, and I'm gonna share it anyway. Hi, Pastor Al. So I'm gonna. It's just when I remembered when we were preparing this, I remembered when I moved here, I was depressed. I shared that maybe 100 times. I'm not depressed anymore. I have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when I was depressed, I remember I listening to this Arabic song says, I just need your word. أنا بس محتاج لصوتك. I just need your voice. Okay. I just need, this is all my need. I don't need anything else. I don't need good job. I don't need the immigration to go well. I don't need the green card. I don't need money. I don't need anything. I remember desperately praying this. As I was going to the Bible study, actually Wednesday to in Norwalk, coming back, this song, I was singing it over and over and over. I don't want anything but to your word. I need to hear your voice, because I know when I hear your voice, my life will be changed. The depression will leave. I know that. I know that. This is why I was praying for this only thing, one thing. أنا بس محتاج لصوتك. I only need your voice. I only need your voice. And it happened after 3 years and a half, but it happened. And my life was turned upside down. No, the opposite. And I believe that God wants to speak over our life to put this foundation. His word, his voice. Amen.
Amen.
All right, James, last time. Go ahead.
Well, remember when I told you I had to hop off early tonight? I just put the message. Do you mind taking over and continuing this part?
Sure, sure.
All right, thanks.
Well, now I got you guys for myself. So the following verse, and we'll open it for discussion in a little bit as well. It says, the leaders of half of the district of Jerusalem made repairs as well. So the thing that's really amazing about this part is that you will see all kinds of people participating. In previous gates, the fish gate, we saw that the leaders or the nobles refused to be part of the work. And in this old gate, we saw that some of the citizens were working on the governor's house. Now we see that the leaders of half of the district of Jerusalem made repairs as well. And you know what James wrote here is that, you know, it's leading by example. You know, leaders or being a leader doesn't mean just you sit around and watch people work. It's being in the work with people. It's participating in the work. That carries more encouragement. That carries more encouragement and authority than anything else. And then in verse 10, it tells us something really amazing, and we're going to stop here for a minute. It says that everyone made repairs in front of their house. You know, if you didn't have the courage to go all the way to the wall, if you didn't have the courage to, you didn't have the skills of the goldsmith, if you didn't have the skills of the perfumers, if you weren't one of the leaders, if you weren't one of the people that helped the governor's house, if you weren't any of those, can you at least make some repairs in front of your house? Mm-hmm. That carries a deep meaning. And if the Bible listed, the Word of God is listing this for us, that is, there's something for us. This is not a story that's just being told. These words are here for a reason. The Word of God was given to us to teach us, to discipline us, to instruct us, to give us light. So what do I take from this? And here are a few questions for you. Can you at least start with your house? Now, the following questions: what kind of repairs do we need to do in our homes? And the following question will be: what did the enemy destroy in our homes? What did the enemy steal in our homes? What areas, when you look to your life and I look to my life, and there is no shame in that, there was not one house that was standing strong, or there is not one house that didn't need repair. Just like there is not one soul in this meeting, there is not one soul in this world that does not need a little bit of repair. Some needs more than the others. You know, when we bought this house we're in right now, and Philip was, was doing all the repairs for us, we had a few things in mind that it was very obvious that it needed repair. But there is one section, and you can ask Philip, that took the most work, that took the longest time, that took the most money, and that section was not even in our plans. We didn't even know it was broken. We didn't even know it was that badly damaged. Okay? So what did the enemy destroy? And what happens if our homes are not repaired? These are questions that we can open for discussion right now, or you can write down and you can answer between you and God. But the question that we're going to discuss right now is this: does it affect us personally, or as a group, or both, when we repair our homes? Can I ask that one more time? Does it affect us personally? So when my home, when my household here is repaired, when I'm working on it at least, when I'm at least working on it, when I'm at least seeing that there is an issue here and I'm working on it, is that going to affect me only personally? Or is it going to affect us as a group, or it's going to affect everyone? That's a question for us to answer.
So I think it affects the group. One thing that I get out of this is that their house, as they were building, it benefited their home. As they were doing the whole greater good, it benefited their home. So as he repaired the wall, so that shows that the home was tied into the whole work. They were connected to the group.
Okay. I think answering this question, Assam, could take a whole session because I just remembered three places in the Bible can answer these questions. But I'm gonna talk only about one. Ali al-Kahin.
Yep.
Ali what? Ali. Ali.
Eli the high priest.
Eli the high priest and his sons, and how his sons were not walking on the way of the Lord, and because of that, the whole nation was affected because God wanted to finish this evil, and his ally, Eli the high priest, his life ended in a really bad way, and so yes, it affects not only the family, but affects the whole community and the whole nation. And it's not only, it's not enough that my kids, for example, they don't do bad stuff. No, I believe that I'm being honest, I'm being, you know, transparent. That they are not, it's not enough that they are good kids. No, it's not enough. I think I have a role to play that they walk on the will of God. You know, it's not my will, it's not my plans, it's not my way of thinking about them, it's the will of God. So I think I need to repair this wall. And personally, I need, this is actually the thing that I pray the most, is that my kids will be walking on the will of God, in the will of God. So, yeah.
I think there's there's a big picture that we can see. By looking at the entire, the sum of chapter 3 in the rebuilding of the wall. And I don't know, it's easier for me to look at big picture than the little fine details, although I received so much from learning about, but there are many of you here that are more gifted at that than I am. But my view of this is sort of, I was sharing earlier, like imagine a drone flying overhead, showing us what the work of rebuilding looked like. And in the process of rebuilding, we're talking about most commentators, most of those who've studied this have said somewhere near 40 groups of people, 40 people groups that were working simultaneously on rebuilding this wall. And here we are, we're looking at all the sections of the wall and finding great meaning in every section. But the thing that stood out to me, and it goes to answering Assam's question about the greater good, is that this was really a work of unity. It was a work of, by the way, absolute miraculous unity. There are some in our midst here that work with construction, that it is a miracle to get so many people working on one project at the same time. And I just had this moment of thinking that this is really God's desire for the church, the church, the big C church, not little C church, but also little C church, to see the church have a work of unity all simultaneously. If I'm working on a piece of the wall and Assam's working on a piece of the wall and there are others around us working, and I suddenly decide, you know what? I don't want to work on this piece of the wall. I don't want to repair this. I don't want to do this thing that God's called me to do. How does that affect the project as a whole? Well, it greatly affects the project as a whole, because you can't have one big gaping hole in the wall. It doesn't work. It doesn't function in the entirety, in the purpose that God has overall. And I think the same can be said when we're looking at our individual lives, our families, our, you know, small church, small C, and our church, big C. This is a work that requires all of the parts involved to be doing just that, seeking God's will and looking for areas that have been breached. And these are areas in the wall that had been breached, that had been ruined. And it was time to repair the individual areas in order to fill the more global purpose, the more general purpose of the project, if you will.
Amen.
And you know what's amazing here? No one, and absolutely no one, was pointing the finger at their neighbor saying, your wall needs to be repaired.
That's nice.
No one was pointing the finger at anyone. And I pray that we start learning this as a church and as a family and as a group of believers, that we would focus on our walls. And if our walls are in good shape and good place, then let's go lend a hand to our neighbors. Then let's go ahead and support our leaders. Then let's go ahead and support our governors. It's just like what they were doing here. You know, if I am a goldsmith and I know that my neighbor needs something fine, like some fine work that he doesn't know how to do, I'm going to go help him. And maybe he can come and help me with something that I know I don't know how to do. Right there, there was no finger. My point is, there is no finger pointing. Because the walls, when they were destroyed, everyone is affected. Everyone is affected. Right now, it's not the time to point the finger and say it was your fault, or I'm better than you, or your wall is more broken than mine. No, it's time to stand together and start building one another, start helping one another, start using each other's gifts. We have so many giftings in the church. So many, so many. But we just have to be humble enough to accept help. We have to be humble enough to admit that we need some repairs. We have to be humble and brave enough to offer help at the same time. Not in the spirit of, you know, authority and I'm better than you, but in the spirit of I need help and you need help. Let's help one another. You know, I always say this about Dina. She can run a country, really. She can be the president anytime, and you know, which doesn't say much lately, but she can be a president. You know, she is the most balanced, and you know, level-headed person I know. I'm very structured, but with structures comes emotions, you know, like if I have it in my head this way, like I've planned it, I've been thinking about it this way. If something just, you know, if you miss a step, I freak out. Dina's not like that. And this is where she comes in to balance that craziness I have. So I'm not living in anxiety. I'm not creating enemies all day long. I'm not, you know, and it's okay. I learned that that's her gift and that's what she brings to my life. And without her, I will be living in anxiety all the rest of my life. Without her, I cannot survive. And we can say that about one another, about as a church family, not just as husband and wife, but as church family, as friends, as leaders, as a group. We can say that. We can try to balance each other. It says here that they all made repairs. Everyone was making repairs, you know? And I pray that we can come to that place one day when God is looking down and looking that we're all making repairs, repairs in our homes, making repairs in our communities, making repairs in our, you know, churches, making repairs in our relationships, making repairs for our own and making repairs for one another. Amen.
Mm.
Amen. All right. So the following.
قبل ما تمشي من هنا معلش قبل ما before you leave this place just I cannot let it go before I mention how will how good of a leader Nehemiah to delegate.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 40 places that Dina was talking about? He's building himself. First, it will take longer. It will burn him out, and he will face all the trouble in different places. And if I'm building in my front of my place, this is a place that I've seen 100 times going out of my house and coming out. You know, I know that this brick is broken. This needs to be repaired like this, you know. But if it's a one-man show, you know, thing, it will be disaster.
Yeah.
But thank God he's a will trained leader. And again, it's the relationship with God that he had to listen from God and to deliver the message to the people. You remember the relationship, you know, being aware of my surrounding, but at the same time being in touch with heaven. So it's worth to mention that he delegated. He was not involved in every small detail, and he was I don't see him now, you know. I don't see his name mentioned in every small detail. So I like that about Nehemiah.
It's very good. Very good. Okay, well, we'll move on to verse 11 and 12 so we can finish this part at least today. Verse 11, it says, they repaired another section as well as the Tower of Ovens. And the Tower of Ovens is symbolic in many ways. Some of the examples, Abraham saw a burning torch and a smoking oven. God led Israel with a pillar of cloud and fire. Daniel's three friends were thrown into an oven. An oven, this I'm just reading you guys what James wrote here. An oven may represent trials for people in it, but it also could be used to bake bread and to feed people. So having the fire, fixing those areas could work both ways. And in the following gate, the valley gate, we're going to talk a lot about trials. And one of the things I wrote here, but we'll share next week, is that one of the things we need to redefine trials and the importance of trials, but we'll discuss that next week. Then the last chapter, then we can close. It says, leaders of half the district of Jerusalem, he and his daughters made repairs. How many of you were at church 2 weeks ago? I had a whole 32 minutes. 32 minutes. I'm so proud of myself. 32 minutes just talking about the church going full forth. Right here we see that the leader of the half of the district of the Jerusalem is helping. I don't know if he had sons or not. I don't know if his sons, if he had sons, they wanted to work or not. But the Bible, again, it's there for a reason. This is a culture where women didn't do these types of jobs. These were supposed to be man's job, right? But right here, it's not my word, it's the word of God that says that he and his daughters started, you know, participated in the work. And this is a message. This is a message that goes along with what I was, you know, talking about a couple of weeks ago and what God has been speaking to me about, that this is a time where everyone has to be involved in the work. This is Amen. A time of repair. Everyone can help. His daughters, I don't know how old they were. I don't know if they were married or single. I have no idea. All I know that the Bible put it here for us to learn from. This is not just the time for the goldsmith. This is not just the time for the perfumers. This is not just the time for the strong builders and the architect and the experienced builders. This is a time for everyone to get involved and start building.
Amen.
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 All right. So we still got 3 minutes. So let's open it up for any questions or comments or anything like that. And then next week we'll start the Valley Gate. and get ready, because this one will need a lot of focus as well. But we still have 3 minutes. 2 minutes. And somebody better say something, or I'm going to start commenting on Marco's hair. So
you say something, I will unleash my dog on you. He's watching and listening everything. And so am I. Watch
out, boy. Don't let that 2-pound thing scare you. It's a barking machine.
Thing is, he hears your voice and he keeps on trying to do this. And I've been holding him down this entire time. That's him off the camera. I don't want distractions.
And I meant comments about the Bible study, not about Marco's dog.
Well, you put me on the spot. So now here I am. I stayed quiet the entire time.
You know I love you.
You too. Love you too.
Actually, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
When you mentioned that no one pointed out that other people needed their house built, when you were talking about people helped each other, I was going to ask you, who's the onus on when it comes to helping? Do you have to ask for help, or do you just work on your house and then help, or do you help others and then help yours, you know, fix your house? How does that go down?
That's a great question.
We got 1 minute.
That's right.
My opinion, I think that depends on you. Like, I get my fix from making others happy at times. So for me to feel fixed at home, I sometimes got to fix my surroundings. So I come home and I'm feeling happier, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes I like to make sure that my surroundings are happy. I will make sure that they're in a better spot than I am at times, which is not good, but that kind of fuels my fire.
That's good.
I would say life is balanced. It's not all 100% in one direction. So you're doing a portion of what you can do to fix your own wall, to fix your own home, and you're trying to do what you can to help others in the process. So it's really about balance. It's not focused all in one area. Just like you go to work and you go to school and you go to the gym and you eat and you sleep and life and you hang out with friends. There's a good balance in that. And so I think the spiritual life is pretty much the same way.
And if you have a certain skill, you know, and that's where the other, you know, the other professions came into place. Well, if you have a certain skill that you know for sure, your neighbor might not have it, you know, and you are, you know, you're doing your work on your own life and you're doing your work on, you know, your household, and you have a certain skill to help others, why not? Why not offering that help? You know, but not in a you're a loser, you're a failure, and you need my help. No, like, you know, I can help in this area. You know, I have been, God tried me in this area before. God tested me in this area before. God trained me in this area before. I, you know, God used other people in my life. I think Pastor Albert was talking in the fish gate. He said one of the things we can do, we can share our testimony under 2 minutes. You know, by sharing our testimonies, we're sharing what God has done with us. You know, this could be a skill. This could be something, you know, like, you know, I was very excited when you pointed out to that part where you said, you know, frustrating, that word frustrating, because that's the thing that I felt many times. And I ran to God with it. I felt like this is not going anywhere. It's not expanding to the right and left to the way that it's not going as fast as I want it to be. And I get frustrated. And God spoke to me. And that's something that I went through over and over and over. And just by saying that word in a Bible study, not meaning you specifically, but you heard that word and it clicked with you, right? So yeah, helping ourselves. And then if I have a testimony, if I have something that God did in my life, why not sharing it with others as well?
I have something beautiful quickly. When the people of Israel received a command that for the Passover, you go inside with your family to eat the Passover, to have a lamb or whatever, and you share that with your family. This is individually. Yeah. So you have to do this as a family. But there is another time there was the Red Sea is open for everyone. So there is time of personal relationship with God and doing things with God alone, and there is time for the corporate group. So you have to know which one is which one. I think it's both. It's balanced, as Pastor Al said. You have to go inside and eat your lamb and eat your Passover. And then maybe in a big scale, God will open the Red Sea for us as a group. Amen.
Okay, so it is 8:03. If you have any other questions, feel free to call Pastor Albert. He would be awake until 1 a.m. waiting for your calls. And if not, we'll see you guys Sunday and Wednesday. And Pastor Mike, can you close us out with prayer, please?
But before he does, yes, we are having church on Sunday back regular. I know we were off for 2 weeks because of a little scare, but everybody's healthy. Thank God. We're good to go. So 10 o'clock Sunday morning in Norwalk.
You read?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you honor and glory, Lord. And we just thank you for your strength, your help, your guidance, Lord, as we repair our personal walls, Lord, the church walls. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your unity, Lord. And Father, help us stay connected, Lord, to you, to the source, Lord. And Father, we thank you for strength for each one represented here, every family represented, Lord. I pray your peace over them, Lord. Bless their homes, Lord. Peace over their homes, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. You guys have a great, great night.